This morning's scripture is taken from 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 1 through 15. Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah, saying, "So may the gods do to me and more also, if I do not make your life like the life of one of them by this time tomorrow." Then he was afraid. He got up and fled for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah. He left his servant there, but he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a solitary broom tree. He asked that he might die. "It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am no better than my ancestors." Then he lay down under the broom tree and fell asleep. Suddenly an angel touched him and said, "Get up and eat." He looked, and there at his head was a cake baked on hot stones and a jar of water. He ate and drank and lay down again. The angel of the Lord came a second time, touched him and said, "Get up and eat, otherwise the journey will be too much for you." He got up and ate and drank. Then he went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the Mount of God. At that place he came to a cave and spent the night there. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He answered, "I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the Israelites have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed the prophets with a sword. I alone am left, and they are seeking my life to take it away." He said, "Go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." Now there was a great wind, so strong it was splitting mountains and breaking rocks in pieces before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a sound of sheer silence. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. Then there came a voice to him that said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He answered, "I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the Israelites have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, killed your prophets with a sword. I alone am left, and they are seeking my life to take it away." Then the Lord said to him, "Go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. When you arrive, you shall anoint Zeal as king over Aram." The word of God for the people of God.
Thank our brother in Christ for sharing those words with us. Thank you, my friend. Would you join with me in prayer? Lord, we thank you for what was just spoken, and that in our continued worship of you, we would sense your truth for our lives and hear you and receive the message that you give us. It's in the name of Christ, with great authority, and also with humility that we pray. Amen. I don't know if anybody here is familiar with VeggieTales. Mm-hmm. Now, the reason why you haven't seen a new VeggieTales is, it's kind of troubling. The company went bankrupt. I was just reading an article where Phil Vischer, who was the chairman of Big Idea Productions that first came up with the idea of VeggieTales, introduced the movie that came out. And things seemed to be going very well, remarkably well. In fact, VeggieTales were everything. You could get pretty much anything with VeggieTales on it. And yet this quote from Phil struck me because he was pushing a second movie. And even as he was pushing a second VeggieTale movies, and they had experienced some success, they were already in deep financial trouble. But this quote illustrates what was really taking place and what was the real motivation behind that movie. It wasn't God. Hear this. Hear these words. The movie became about me wanting God to put a stamp of approval on my ambition. And he didn't. God wanting to confirm my plan, my idea, my ambition. Me, me, me. Doesn't sound good, does it? And yet, it continues to be one of the deepest, most intimate, most difficult struggles that Christians have. Where is that line? Where is the separation? What is the defining moment when we recognize that it has been our agenda, our list of sticky notes, our schedule, and not God's will? When that comes, it's profound, and it's a wonderful blessing of God. It's not God slapping our wrist, but rather, maybe it's God coming to us with a question. A question that is stated twice in the scripture passage this morning. First of all, at the end of verse 9, the Lord saying to Elijah, "What are you doing here, Elijah? What are you doing here, Elijah?" And then continuing at the end of verse 13, "What are you doing here, Elijah? What are you still doing here?" Now, if we received that from somebody else, and they said to us, "Are you still here?" Maybe we'd receive it in a different way, possibly. "You still around? I thought you were leaving." These words from God to the prophet are words that come basically bracketing God speaking to the prophet and God working in powerful ways and also subtle ways. Saying to Elijah, "Elijah, it's really not about your plan. It's about my will." Certainly, in this scripture passage, there are things that jump out to us, aren't there? There are some very powerful movements of nature, God guiding that, that would get anybody's attention. I want to tell you something. I don't know if you realize or not, but we have an actual bona fide celebrity here in our midst this morning. From Vacation Bible School, from the Storyteller's Room, we have Elijah. And she knew I was going to do that. I'm glad she took the pencil out of her hand before she did that. And anybody who saw the Storyteller's Room, Room 8, knew, boy, I tell you what, there was a lot of work in there. Yes, ma'am. That was the same story as she told. Absolutely. And we did the earthquake. We did the fire. We did the wind. And we also talked about silence and being willing to listen and recognizing that God works. Sounds like a simple phrase, but there's a lot of thought, there's a lot of struggle and churning that has to go on inside of us to truly believe it, to truly live our lives in a way that shows we count on God working. Understand what I'm saying there? Sometimes we fool ourselves into thinking that if I do a certain thing, then God's going to work. Do you ever think, do you really believe? And if you do, it's okay. But please set up an appointment to talk to me. If you believe that God stops working we do need to talk. Because the biblical witness shares something completely different. The biblical witness shares a God who continues to be proactive, who continues to initiate, and who, because we're Christians, we have that name, because we see the cross each and every time we worship, we're reminded that God initiated that contact as well. You see? A God who works, a God who is already manifest, filling us, stretching us, speaking to us, sometimes in loud ways, sometimes in ways that we can't ignore, sometimes in subtle ways that we have to listen to and really pay attention. For us, today, it's a day of resurrection. Resurrecting hope inside of ourselves. God resurrecting a love that maybe lay dormant. God resurrecting a power, a Holy Spirit power that maybe we hadn't thought about for a while or never really even thought about in the first place. God, you see, never, ever stops working. Okay. You're saying, preacher, Elijah had every reason to be hiding and shivering in that cave. He had just had a showdown earlier, before this story. Just had a showdown with the prophets of Baal. And there was, from all recollections, a pretty amazing display of fireworks and power. There was a sacrifice that was offered, and the prophets of Baal, bunch of them, prayed and did all of their things and said, okay, go ahead and accept this sacrifice. You will show that you are the more powerful God. And then Elijah, facing one man, facing all of these prophets of Baal, this false god, prays to God, Yahweh, go ahead and take this offering. And he does. And then what's more, sometimes, especially in the Old Testament, it's a very graphic nature to it. We understand that all the prophets were killed. Okay? The power of God was shown in a pretty amazing way, and in a way that really grabs you, maybe even shocks you. And so Elijah won, didn't he? Yeah. But he goes to a cave and he hides and he cowers in that, and then he starts bemoaning his fate. Woe is me! I'm the only one who's righteous. I'm the only one who's holy. I'm the only one who still loves God and wants to serve Him. Wow, wow, wow. Do you ever have a pity party? Have you ever heard somebody have a full class, full-blown pity party, and you had to receive it? And you just had to sit there and thought, okay, this too shall pass. Well, Elijah, that's in essence what he's doing here. Okay, certainly. I'm not going to say that maybe I wouldn't have responded in the same way. Maybe had my face shaken. But Elijah, again and again, was shown God's providence. God had provided for him. In fact, God had even fed him. Before that, hadn't he literally provided sustenance for him to live? And so God, whenever he asks Elijah, what are you doing here, Elijah? I mean, there's power in that. In that question, we can fill in our last name. And I'd like you to take that with you from worship today, from the sermon today. What are you doing here? And then fill in your last name. Okay, or fill in your name, I should say, your first name. What are you doing here, Neil? Who are you following? Are you open to my will? Is it your agenda? Is it your plan? Are you concerned and worried about things that are churning in your mind? Or are you seeking to be in communion with me and then following how I'm guiding you? Would you be willing to do that with me? What are you doing here? Fill in your name. Not my name, your name. And just consider that question. What are you doing here? Are you kind of, right now, spiritually, are you feeling like you're kind of huddled in a cave? And yet if you reflect and think about your journey, maybe recently or over a lifetime, whenever you stop and think about it, there's been time and time again when God has provided. But maybe it's like that Janet Jackson song, "What Have You Done For Me Lately?" You know? What have you done for me lately? You're thinking about that? What have you done for me lately? That's okay. God still works. That's the premise of this whole message today. That no matter our response, God is still the God of grace, a channel of love. And God also provides a plan. He already has things lined up. He's saying, after this particular story, and what's going to happen in the scripture, and you can go ahead and look at the verses after this one that we're looking at this morning. He has Elijah anoint new leaders and new kings. And they, in essence, take care of the problems, if you will, including Jezebel. And then he passes on a mantle of authority to Elijah to be a new prophet, to be able to take it on and be a mouthpiece of God. So you see, at the moment that he was cowering in that cave, at the moment when he wasn't willing to step forward and trust God, at those very moments whenever he was having a pity party, God had already had something in the works, planned. Isn't that amazing? Let me ask you a question. Do you think that God still works that way? Really, that is the question. Because if you think that God still works that way, that whenever we're cowering or whenever we're in a moment of weakness, or let's go ahead and get very real here, whenever we're dealing with sickness or when we're dealing with grief or we're dealing with loss or brokenness or anger or betrayal or any of the things that we experience as human beings from time to time, whenever we're experiencing that, do you actually believe that God is still at work and has a plan and His will is still available to follow? Do you believe that? That's something that each of us has to consider, isn't it? And at that moment of truly defining our faith and needing to grow and being stretched, what a wonderful thing to kind of come out of that and to be able to come out of the cave of our despair, to be able to come out of the caves of our fear, to be able to come out of the caves of our depression, to be able to come out of the caves of our panic, and to be able to step out and know that God is not only working now, but He will work in the then time as well, in the future time. And His will always be powerfully churning, sometimes speaking in loud and powerful and dynamic ways that we can't ignore, and also in the ways of quietness and subtleness. There's a story about several applicants seeking a position as the ship's Morse code operator. Okay? Morse code. Beep, 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 beep. Did I just send a signal out there? I'm not sure. Does anybody know? I hope it was good, you know. It's like when you're learning another language and you say something and you just kind of cross your fingers like, I hope that was good. While the applicants were waiting to be interviewed, the room was filled with the sounds of conversation, as happens when people gather. And so they're oblivious to the sound of dots and dashes emanating from an intercom. They couldn't hear it. Then another applicant comes in, sits down, quietly waiting. Suddenly, she jumps up, walks into the private office, and after a few minutes, walks out with the job. The other applicants exclaim, "We were here first! How could you go ahead of us and get the job?" To which she replies, "Any of you could have gotten the job if you had just been quiet long enough to pay attention to the message on the intercom." "What message?" The code said, "A ship's operator must always be on the alert. The first person who gets this message and comes directly into my office will get the job." Sometimes it really takes us listening, quieting ourselves. Sometimes it takes us saying at the beginning of a day, "Lord, I've been worried too long. I've been stressed too long. I've been overwhelmed too long. Today, I'm handing all of that over to you, and I'm going to seek to listen to how you speak to me through others, through my work, through people I know, through people I'll meet today, and also simply when it's you and me." What an awesome God we have. What an awesome God who continues to speak to us. What an awesome God who loves us when we're in the midst of pity parties. What an awesome God who sustains us whenever we are going through incredibly challenging times of brokenness. What an incredible God we have that allows us to experience hope, resurrection, newness. And it is that God this morning who is speaking to you. So guess what I'm going to do right now? I'm going to shut up and let that God, I'm glad I didn't get any amens on that. Silently, I know it was happening. You know, some of you are like, yes. I'm going to shut up, and I'm going to allow now, in the music, music's a great channel of God, isn't it? Wonderful channel of God. And also, in this time of discipleship, for you to simply hear God, know that He is speaking to you. Come out of that cave. Receive God's grace. And know that He continues to be with you through everything and anything.